you want to get in on the conversation tonight, because I've got a guest this evening. As my regular listeners know, I rarely have a guest, but when I do have a guest, I'm sure that you benefit from it greatly and that you enjoy the conversations that we have around this whole issue of work and money, as we're going to do tonight. My guest this evening is Vera Adamovich. She's a financial planner with Imperial Financial Services, the Bayshore office. And that's what's in everybody's mind these days, isn't it? Is financial planning. We're coming into that financial planning season. It's the end of this financial year, of course, in another month. And people are going to be putting away their RRSP money, their RESP money, and anything else they can to hide from the tax man and avoid that big tax bill in the spring. So financial planning's on people's minds, money's on people's mind, what to do with it or how to get it or how to put more away, whatever the case may be. We're going to be talking about money and its relationship with career in terms of planning this evening. And for those of you that are thinking about making a change in your career, even just toying with the idea, just playing with the prospect of perhaps changing your career, and you don't have a clue how to start, and you're feeling a lot of resistance towards it. We want to talk about those resistances, those blocks that you might be having from changing your current circumstances. And that's why I've asked Vera to join me tonight, because Vera, like myself, is somebody that's made a career transition. We've actually gone through the process ourselves. It's not an easy process. We're not saying that for one second. But we've been through that process. We know from experience what's involved and how to deal or how to confront with these blocks or resistances that we all have. So first of all, let me welcome you, Vera, to the Career Connection.
Thank you, George. I'm happy to be here.
And you are a financial planner, so you deal with these money issues all the time.
That's correct. I do.
Vera, one of the things that struck me over the years as I've heard financial planners talk is that so few people do it. I know as a career consultant, a professional career consultant in private practice here in Ottawa, that probably only 5 to 10% of the population really plans their career. Most of us sort of fall into our first job or drift into our first job or graduate into our first job. We don't purposefully choose our first job necessarily. And I understand it's similar in terms of financial planning. Most people reach retirement age and haven't put a lot of planning into it. Is that true?
That's absolutely true, George. By far, the majority of people that I encounter are people who say, one of these days I'm going to start. They might be in their 40s and they talk about planning for their retirement, but in fact, they haven't even started yet. So you're absolutely right. A very, very small percentage does it. I think the awareness is growing as changes in society come about and as large companies downsize and more people are looking at options of self-employment. That seems to be bringing about a new awareness, but typically...
Let alone everything that you hear about financial planning on the radio and on television and read
right.
in the newspapers. It's become big business.
Yes, it has, and people are becoming more aware, but still, by far, only a small number, a small percentage, take full charge of that and put together a good, sound plan.
Yeah, I wonder why that is, because the prospect of facing the future, especially if you're retired or you reach your 60s without any money, has got to be frightening. What stops people from, where's the motivation? Why don't they get motivated to save now, save early, save a lot, so that they don't have a bleak kind of future or the future that what most people seem to experience? We know that most women, for example, single women that reach retirement age live in poverty in this country.
Mm-hmm,
and a lot of that could be, I guess, averted or avoided if we started planning early.
Yeah.
What do you think stops people?
Well, I think we're still clinging to the older mentality where company pensions were something people took for granted and most people had. And people aren't really facing the new reality of the same changes that are coming about in society. And there's a lot of rude awakenings, you know, going on. And as I say, it's those people who are suddenly confronted with changes where they realize they have to take charge.
So you're saying most of us have been coddled in this cradle-to-grave security that our social net has generated for the last 30 or 40 years,
yes.
And we're still counting on Big Brother or the state or the company to look after us.
And I think we're right in the middle of gaining this new awareness now. This is what I'm encountering with people. As I say, lots of people in their 40s are just now starting to think about it. And typically there's been an experience within the family
mm-hmm.
where someone lost that job that they thought they would have till 65. Or if not their immediate family, someone they know well. And that creates an awareness. And
so you're talking about two kinds of resistances or blocks that people have to planning and saving now for the future. One is external. There's something that happens in the external environment, a change in the economy, for example. We no longer have the kind of job security that we had 20 years ago, so you can't count on your company pension there when you're 65, if you retire at that time. And the other kind of block is internal. It's a kind of attitude or a mentality that we have.
Exactly.
And do you think that there's a kind of inclination, a tendency to live in the moment, to live in the present, to run up those credit card bills, to stay in debt in order to enjoy, you know, the pleasures of the present rather than the plan for the future?
For a lot of people, that is the case, yes. You know, there are some who are good planners and who take all of that very seriously, but for a lot of people, you're right, they don't face the issues until something happens, something drastic happens, and they're forced to.
All right. Well, I think money is the issue in a lot of cases, and we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back from the break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on the Career Connection. 521-TALK, 521-8255.
You're listening to Career Connection on Ottawa's News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA. The number to call to speak with George Dutch is 521-TALK, 521-8255. George returns in a moment.
580 CFRA, your News Talk Radio station in the nation's capital. My name is George Dutch, and I'm here every Sunday evening to help you find your right work and help you navigate your way through the world of work. And what we're doing tonight is helping you navigate your way through the world of finances. My guest this evening is Vera Adamovich. She's a financial planner with Imperial Financial Services at the Bayshore office here in Ottawa. And we're talking about the necessity of planning, or at least the benefits of planning, aren't we, Vera? We have talked about it in general terms, and now we're going to get specific in terms of planning for career and the kind of money issues that come up for a lot of people. I know myself, Vera and I have both been through a career transition. We purposely chosen the work that we do today based on information that we got from our career assessments, that our current jobs match up or correlate with specific talents that we have and the kinds of circumstances that motivate us. But I know that when I was going through my career transition, I had a lot of misgivings, and those misgivings tended to focus or center around money. For example, Vera, when I was in my early 20s, that was the first time that I read What Color's Your Parachute, and I did the exercises, and I think I was about 23 years old. And after doing those exercises, I didn't have a lot more clarity about what my right work is. I had some more information about myself, but I didn't really have a lot of clarity about how that information correlated with specific jobs in specific businesses or industries or organizations, at least the kind of information that I could feel that I could trust, that accurately and reliably gave me confidence to move forward in a specific direction. It didn't give me that. And so, like a lot of people, I got into a job, into several jobs, tried several jobs, as you have, and each time you learn a bit more about yourself. That's part of the maturing process, part of growing older, becoming an adult. There's no doubt about that. And so as you learn things about yourself, you tend to make decisions based on what you've learned. But it wasn't until I was in my early 30s that I made a real effort to change my career. And so I read some more books. And I think that's what most of us do. We're socialized in a self-help culture. We're told that all the answers lie within us, and that if we just read the right book, miraculously that answer will come to us as a result of this self-help individualism that is cultivated in our society. And so, being the good citizen that I am, I trusted that. I read a lot of books, and I still didn't get any answers. Finally, I read a book that in some way harmonized with me or triggered with me an approach that I thought I could trust. It was a book called Work with Passion by Nancy Anderson, a career consultant in California. And I had bought that book. I'd seen it advertised in a magazine. I'd cut out the ad and put it in my file of things to do. And as my career continued to slip in terms of satisfaction, as I found that the more I did my work, the less I liked it. This was a government job that I had. I started to think more and more about that book. And after about a year of trying a number of coping strategies, because that's what we do, I think, when we get in jobs that we're highly dissatisfied with. We learn to cope. We get in a treadmill, in a rut, and let's face it, a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. We get in a rut and try to coast along with the least amount of pain as possible, and live for the weekends, or live for 5 o'clock, that 5 o'clock world that Drew Carey sings about so wonderfully. And we do that for years. And I knew that I was in that rut, and I wanted to change things. I wanted to do something about it. So I dug out that book again, Work with Passion, read it again, and I made up my mind to contact Nancy Anderson, the consultant. So I tracked down her address and all the rest of it and asked her if she would work with me. And she agreed to, but then it came down to the money. Should I spend that money? I realized that my reluctance to spend the money was a defensive rationale for a deeper issue, because I didn't even know how much money was involved at the time. But my fear was it would be a lot of money, that it would be a tremendous amount of money, because it seemed to me that career counseling or finding my way into a new career direction was an open-ended process that would go on forever and cost me all of my savings. And yet, when I thought about it, in the previous year, I had spent several thousand dollars just on my holiday. I'd made an investment for several weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, to have a good time on a holiday. And yet, I was balking. I was stalling. I was procrastinating. I wouldn't invest the same kind of money in a career change. And started to ask myself, well, why is that the case? And I argued with myself. I was hesitant to invest money in myself that would pay off in a big way in the future. I argued that I'd already read her book. I'd done the exercises in What Color Is Your Parachute more recently, as well as in my early 20s, without feeling any closer or clearer about my mission in life or about the kind of niche that I could find in my life. I mean, what did she know that I didn't know, right? Not only are we cultivated to seek answers through self-help books, but we live in a society that celebrates individualism, self-reliance, right? We should be able to figure everything out on our own. We don't need anybody else. We live in the autonomous culture, right? We don't need other people. We should be able to handle everything by ourselves. And I think that was the real block for me, is that I felt that I should be able to figure this kind of thing out myself. I was a university graduate. I was intelligent. I'd read all the right books. Why couldn't I figure it out myself? And why should I spend any money on it? Those were the two things that were real blocks for me. And it wasn't until I got through those things, when I admitted to myself that this wasn't something that I could figure out for myself. For whatever reason, I think all of us need a mirror to reflect back to us accurately and honestly who and what we are. Because so often we're these bundles of self-deception with all kinds of fears and all the rest of it. And it wasn't until a friend urged me to trust my intuition. There was something about that book, the approach that book took, that I should trust my intuition and follow that process. And I'm so glad that I got that encouragement, that advice from a friend, because it made all the difference in my life when I plowed ahead. And of course, I ended up spending 25% of what I thought I would spend and got tremendous amount of clarity and made a change in my life. It was one of those turning points in my life. Is your story similar?
It is, George, especially with respect to the financial investment for something like career planning. I was working similar to yourself in a field or in careers that were somewhat satisfying, but there was never a total commitment and in deep satisfaction where you could say that you were doing your life's work. There was always something that was missing. And what happened to me a couple of years ago when I decided to make a career change, for the first time, for some reason, I decided to stand back and take a longer-term view of it. And what I realized, having had previous experience similar to what you just outlined, what I realized is that every serious undertaking one takes in one's life successfully, whether it's building a home or building a career or building a retirement portfolio, requires a deep understanding of all the elements that come into play. So why not consult an expert? And when I realized that I wanted to make a career change, but I wanted this one to be the last change and the change that would lead me to the career that was meaningful that I wanted to be in for the rest of my life, I thought I'm going to look for help. I'm going to look for expert help in this. And I started out, if you recall, with another company, a large career counseling firm, who did have quite a steep fee, but I felt it was a worthwhile investment. And I didn't have a lot of extra money at my disposal at the time. I was a single parent with two teenagers, but I just felt that if this is something that I'm going to build my future on, why would I not want to make that investment? When, as you say, we readily make investments in things like vacations.
It's even worse than that. This has happened to me on a number of occasions, not just once, but I've had prospective clients stand in front of me and say, George, you know, I'd really like to go ahead with this, but I don't have the money to do this right now. And then a friend of theirs will come up to their shoulder, they'll turn around, finish the conversation with me, and say to their friend something like, oh, you know what, I'm just going to put new carpets in my home. I'm getting them next week.
Exactly, yeah.
It astounds me that we will make an investment in something tangible, like a house or a car, that will never return money back in the same way as our potential to earn money through our career, through our work, through a job.
Yeah.
We're so ready to invest money in carpets or some other item in the house, a new television or a car payment or whatever the case may be, and yet not in ourselves.
Yeah. And people never stop to think and realize that that small investment in the career planning is going to come back to them thousandfold when they have found that right career, that satisfying career, that career that's going to put them in a position where they'll get promotions and get more money. Whereas if they didn't do the planning and stayed stuck in the dead-end job, the promotions alone wouldn't be there. You know, so the small investment required is so nominal, and it should not be something that prevents people. I'm a good example. I couldn't afford it, but I knew in my heart I couldn't afford not to do it.
And so what helped you to move through that barrier, that internal barrier? Well, I guess part of it was external, because you didn't have as much money in the bank account as you felt you needed to meet all your obligations.
I decided that I wanted a new career. I decided that it had to be the career that would last the rest of my life. And I wanted it to be more lucrative. Finances were tight at the time. And once you start making decisions like that and take a positive view of things and focus, and then things start happening. And then I was so fortunate when I, in addition to working with this other company, I met you, because in fact the fee that you charged me was so far less, just a small percentage of what the other firm was charging, and yet I got such tremendous value, because what you did, of course, was help me determine where my talents and my passions coincided, and that eventually led to my opening my own mental horizons and opened my own mind to possibilities, which led me to this career that I'm in now.
Right. All right, listeners, do you, does this resonate with you? Do you identify with the kinds of concerns we're talking about, that when the prospect of making a career, even though you change, even though you know it's the right thing to do, the prospect frightens you, and you rationalize it in terms of an excuse about money. Money is the issue. It comes down to money. You don't want to spend the money. You don't think you have the money. You don't trust that the process is going to work. You don't want to throw your money away. You don't want to waste it. Does this resonate with you? I'd like to hear your comments about this particular issue. 521-TALK, 521-8255. You're listening to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA, your news talk radio station in the nation's capital. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages.
This is CFRA's Career Connection with career counselor George Dutch. Call toll-free now, 1-800-580-2372 or 521-TALK, 521-8255. George will be back right after this.
Just hearing the children playing makes you smile, doesn't it? And my smile just got bigger thanks to everyone who supports our Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. You've made Dream of a Lifetime a huge success. Tickets are sold out. Thank you to all who purchased Dream of a Lifetime tickets, and good luck in the early bird draw December 1st, as well as the grand prize draw on December 8th.
Happy, healthy children are the reason so many businesses support CHEO's Dream of a Lifetime. Many thanks to Ashcroft for the grand prize dream home and the Ashcroft townhome, both in Central Park. And to Riverside Country Homes for the Surfside model Viceroy Cottage. As well as the dozens of other businesses who contributed to the success of Dream of a Lifetime.
It's the support of the whole community, individuals and businesses alike, which has made CHEO's Dream of a Lifetime a great success. Thank you all.
Yes, indeed. You better treat her right, because she works hard for her money. Welcome back to the Career Connection here on 580 CFRA. My name is George Dutch. And I just wanted to let you know that you can pick up a copy of my book, Job Joy, Finding Your Right Work Through the Power of Your Personal Story, at local Smith Books and Chapters bookstores. Smith Books and Chapters bookstores in the Ottawa region carry Job Joy. Just walk into the bookstore to the business section, the career section, and look for the big orange book by myself, George Dutch, called Job Joy. And I'm sure if you have a look at it, you'll find it very interesting in terms of giving you some guidance, some tips on how you too can find your right work, find that niche in your life that matches jobs, specific jobs, with things that you do naturally and effortlessly, your passions in life, your natural talents, your motivating circumstances. That's the stuff that I work with every day with my clients, including my guest this evening, Vera Adamovich, who's a financial planner with Imperial Financial Services, their Bayshore office. And I'll be giving you Vera's phone number at the end of the hour if you'd like to contact her for financial advice, because she's a natural at it. Also, if you'd like to contact me outside of this program, you can contact me if you're wired on the web at my email address, which is jobjoy@workmail.com. jobjoy@workmail, that's workmail.com. Or please feel free to call me during office hours at my office here in Ottawa, 563-0584. 563-0584. Vera, when we just had our break with those commercial messages, you were telling me that there's a saying in your industry, financial planning industry.
Yes, when we're talking about planning and the fact that people often don't take charge of it, our experience typically is that the average person spends more time planning their summer vacation than they take every year planning for their retirement. And when you think about that, that's pretty sad.
It's pretty sad, and I also think I'm a bit guilty of that, because I really value my vacations, and I put a lot of time into planning them and making sure that I get the biggest bang for my buck. And I certainly have no problem spending several thousand dollars on a vacation, but I always think twice before investing any money.
Mm-hmm. The problem is if you don't plan for the retirement, you won't be able to take any vacations.
You won't be able to take any vacations. There's consequences to these choices, aren't there? That's what we're talking about. There's consequences to these choices.
And that's why if you don't take charge and make the investment, we're talking about the financial investment of career planning. Mm-hmm. The consequences of that is you're going to stay stuck in that unsatisfactory career, and you'll never find, you know, your true purpose and that career that gives you inner satisfaction if you don't make that very small investment up front as part of the planning process.
Is there to help.
Absolutely.
You know, when we talk about planning and making that investment, and we talk about financial planning, I mean, we all know the kinds of problems that the stock market has had in the last year, up and down and up again, and people have seen some of their mutual fund portfolios reduced by 20%. I think that was the average reduction during the last fall in the market, in the bear market. And we tend to focus on negative experiences. If most of our experiences have been negative in work or in financial planning, how often do you hear about people saying they invested money in the stock market and lost it or lost most of it? Then I think for many of us, our decisions reinforce our negative experiences. And that almost happened to me as far as the career planning, the career change went, because I was so reluctant to spend any money on a career transition, in hiring a career consultant to analyze or assess me and to identify and define specifically for me job niches or specific job titles or careers that matched up with my combination of talents and skills and values and interests. It's a lot easier to spend money on a holiday because you get a result. You go away to the sun, lie on the beach, go swimming, have some good food, you come back, you've had some pleasure. It's not that deferred gratification, that delayed gratification, it's immediate. And I think my fear around career change, where money was the issue, was that I would be losing money. That was my fear. The fear of being cheated, of being disappointed once again, in the same way that a lot of people put money in the stock market and they lose money. They feel they've been cheated, they've been disappointed again. And if we've experienced a lot of disappointments, if we've been cheated a number of times in our life, then we want to avoid that, right? We're human beings. We want to avoid pain. And so we're even more reluctant to invest money in changing our lives. And I think the turning point for me was that I had to accept that if I continued along that path, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. So if I was going to continue along that path of not changing my career, not investing any money in it, waiting for something magical to happen, then I had to accept the rationale that meant that I had to give up on my life and condemn myself to mediocrity, to the treadmill of life. What's the saying that the French have in Paris? Metro boulot dodo. That sort of futility of going to work, coming home, going to sleep, and repeating that over and over and over again. So at some point, I decided, well, I have to swallow my fears about losing the money or wasting it or getting cheated, swallow my doubts, and take the risk. Because at some point, you have to take the risk. That's what it comes down to.
That's right.
And planning, of course, is about not eliminating risk, but minimizing it. As a financial planner, you can't guarantee me that I'm not going to lose my money unless I put it in guaranteed investment certificates at a very low interest rate. I might not lose my money, but I won't gain very much more money towards my investment. You can't eliminate risk, but you can certainly minimize it. And I think that's the value that I had to understand, or that was the point that I had to come to, that hiring a career counselor or a career consultant who could act as a mirror to reflect back to me the truth of who I was and how that could be matched up with specific jobs, was a way of, in some way, hoping that I wouldn't be devastated by disappointment once again. That was the risk for me, and that was an emotional issue. That was an internal obstacle that I had to leap over. Do you find that similar for yourself, for your clients? Are there a lot of people that come in doubting whether or not you can help them, whether or not you can increase the nest egg?
Within financial planning, yes, I do. I find a number of people are insecure that they can reach their objectives. Sometimes the reason they haven't started financial planning is they don't have confidence that they'd get to where they'd like to be when they retire, in any case. And that's terribly unfortunate, because the reality is that if they don't do the planning, the chances of not getting there increase tremendously. And if they would just take the time to sit down with an expert, they could be shown some wonderful choices that it would increase their chances of getting that that financial objective at retirement.
It doesn't guarantee it, but it increases their chances. Increases the effectiveness of their likelihood that they'll get there.
Increases it tremendously,
right.
And makes it possible. Whereas if you don't do anything, if you sit back in fear and do nothing, you're just assuring that you won't get there.
Right. And so, I find the same thing in career consulting, that the fear is that you will be disappointed, that you won't, in fact, have a career identified that lights a spark in you, a career that matches up with your talents, and you can say to yourself honestly, yeah, I do want to try that. That is something I want. That's an objective I want to shoot for now, because I see how that connects to my life. Mm. I see how that resonates with my talents. I can see that I've done this thing over and over again in my life, and I can see how that matches the core job duty, for example, in your case, of being a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've done it, of course, the test is the more you do it, the more you enjoy it.
That's right. Now, I think that fear, if fear is what they're approaching it with, I think you were right when you said that it stems from the negative thinking and from the negative experiences. So what I would recommend as a prerequisite is to change one's thinking, to turn that negative thinking into positive thinking. And you said earlier that as a self-help oriented society, we do a lot of reading. And what I did when I was faced with challenges and difficulties, to pull myself out of that, I did reading, not so much in career planning, because I hadn't even come to understand that yet, but reading about mental attitude and of continuing the search. And in my case, that's what then led me to...
That's a good point.
...planning the career.
Very good point, Vera. I think some of these positive thinking pundits have said that 85% of our self-talk, the talk that goes on in our heads, 85% is negative. So that means 85% of the day and night, you're repeating negative messages.
Absolutely.
You're telling yourself negative scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is you need to unwind that script. You need to rewrite that script so that you start to think more positively. And I think one of the things that I focus on in my private practice is exactly that. I help people focus on times in their life when they were doing something they enjoyed and doing it well, and not necessarily at work. As you know, I focus on a lot of activities outside of work, because if we're not enjoying our work, we will tend to gravitate towards activities outside of work that we do enjoy doing. And those activities can reveal clues to our natural talents. Yeah. And those talents and the circumstances that trigger them could be matched up with specific jobs and specific careers.
In my case, George, when I worked with you, it was exactly that process that allowed you to show me the sorts of activities that I enjoyed and brought me satisfaction, which helped us assess where I, you know, what fields I should be looking at and what types of work I should be looking at. Exactly that sort of thing. So you're absolutely right. And I think the starting point is to turn your attitude around, and that, you know, once you improve that, then wonderful things start happening in all directions.
But you also have to have some kind of foundation on which to change your attitude. You need to have some evidence that you have this potential, that you can do something different. I think that's one of the things, another block that people have in terms of investing money and changing their career. They simply cannot see what else they can do.
But that's what career counseling really reveals to you.
And that's why in my private practice, I put a lot of emphasis on the first session that I have with somebody. In that first session, I start the process of analysis and assessment, because I ask my clients to bring me some information, simple information about a few things that they enjoy doing. For example, I might ask them to bring me their resume and highlight on their resume for me any particular parts of a job they've had, specific job duties or projects or assignment that they've enjoyed. And maybe write down four or five things they enjoy doing outside of work, so that I have a starting point to show them how they've used these natural talents over and over in their lives. And I identify them. I define them specifically. I show how they correlate with certain kinds of job duties and certain kinds of jobs. And I think that gives people the basis for taking more confidence, feeling more confidence about who and what they are in terms of work.
You know, George, what you're describing is something that's very difficult for people to understand or imagine unless they've seen it. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share a specific concerning my experience that, might offer an example of what you're describing now. I remember when you and I went through that process, what you told me as a result of the stories I was telling you about the things I enjoyed doing and the things that I was successful at, and some of those were in the realm of hobbies, not career specifics, you told me that I loved problem solving. And that they didn't even have to be my problems, they could be other people's problems. And I can remember when you told me that being completely surprised, because I had never realized that in myself. As soon as you told me and described it to me, I agreed and I saw it, but I didn't see that, I hadn't seen that myself. And if I hadn't seen that and come to understand how true it was, I would never have entertained the notion of a financial planning career. I can remember the first time a good friend of mine suggested that industry, my initial reaction was, that sounds incredibly boring. That sounds like a dry, boring industry to me. Well, I was totally wrong, and it wasn't until you and I went through the career planning exercise that I realized, when financial planning was presented to me, that this is an opportunity, career opportunity, where you spend all day helping people solve problems. And that's exactly what I'm doing now, and that's exactly what I love doing. So there's an example of how you help me see within myself talents and skills and passions that can be found in a career.
That was somebody else acting as a mirror, reflecting back to you who and what you were, because the image you had was a bit cloudy. So often we make decisions based on the kinds of assumptions you just mentioned. Well, financial planning sounds boring. But until you understood how your talents, natural talents, things that you cannot not do, and you do every day naturally and effortlessly, correlate with core job duties of being a financial planner, you never would have entertained the notion of being a financial planner. The same sort of thing happened to me. I remember working with the career consultant by phone, and she said to me, "You sound good on the phone. Have you ever thought of going on the radio?" And up till that point, it had never crossed my mind to even think of being on radio. And that comment was one of the steps that led me towards having this radio show right here on 580 CFRA. We're going to take a short break. Before we do, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, you found so much value in this process. You even put your daughter through it.
Yes,
and we
want
to talk about the value of this for young people, for teenagers, right after this break. So stay tuned to George Dutch on The Career Connection on 580 CFRA. We'll be back in a few moments.
This is CFRA's Career Connection with career counselor George Dutch. Call toll-free now, 1-800-580-2372 or 521-TALK, 521-8255. George will be back right after this.
The people at the Phonics game get many letters from all over Canada and the United States concerning the game. I'd like to read you one of those letters so you get an idea what parents themselves are saying. Here is what one mother wrote about the Phonics game Junior. Quote, "When I ordered the Phonics game Junior for my newly turned 3-year-old, I had no idea she would be reading in just 6 weeks. The Phonics game Junior is an amazing tool. I don't know how you do it, but the videos and games really work. In fact, now my daughter is quite a proficient speller and can sound any short vowel, 3-letter word. Please remember, she's only 3. All kids are different, but the Phonics game promises your children will see results, even an increase of 1-letter grade on their next report card or your money back. And don't forget that the Phonics game and Phonics game Junior make fabulous holiday gifts. Call them right today in time for the holidays, 1-800-920-3FUN. 1-800-920-3FUN.
In a town in